Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. It's Tuesday. It's 11:05, which means it's time for our weekly conversation with the head coach of the Utah State Aggies, Blake Anderson, joining us on the Smart Rain guest line. Utah will be in a drought next summer. Smart Rain knows that your planning, budget plannings for next businesses are coming soon, so take advantage of their Save Now, Pay Later promotion and do your part by saving water while saving money. Go to smartrain.net. Coach, how are you?
Hey, Coach.
I'm good. Good morning, gentlemen.
So I know we talked a little bit about this on the post-game show, but you get a refill on the old heart medication after another game like that?
Yeah. These guys are wearing me out. But it's a win, ugly win or not, last-second win. It still goes in the win column. So as chaotic and stressful as it is, I'd take another one just like it on Friday night.
Coach, what is it about the makeup of this team that it seems like it's a slow start and then one of the more entertaining, exciting, and clean finishes that you could imagine?
That's a great question, and I wish I had a great answer for you. We've talked about it as a team, as a staff, and I don't know. I mean, it may be something different each week. Some of them have been, just who we're playing physically. Our matchups have not been great. Taking us a while to wear them down, and we play better later in the game than we do early. Some of it has been, I think, just some mental mistakes, either hyped up, a little over-hyped up and not focused well. I thought this one particularly was kind of a combination of coming out of the open week little sluggish-legged. They were trying to play hard, but it took us a little while to get our legs underneath us. I think sometimes you go through an open week and you can have that a little bit of that feel of just kind of getting it out of you. And then physically they're built, UNLV's built really well up front. The challenge on both sides of the ball up front were real. Us trying to move them to run the ball, didn't run it well early at all and didn't run it well till late when they got tired. And really our matchup up front against their O-line and that really good running back were a challenge early, and then they got better. So I think the conditioning did play a factor, and we looked better late, and they kind of fell apart a little bit. So I don't know exactly what it is, but I love the fact that our kids don't quit, and they do believe that if they'll just keep battling, that we're going to have a chance in the end, and it's proven to be true, more times than not.
This is more of a general question instead of maybe just on last week, but when you're around your team in pregame warmups and in that pregame locker room, can you get a sense on how a game's going to go, or is it always just kind of a surprise when the ball gets kicked off and you're not quite sure how it's going to go?
Every team's different. I've been with teams through my career that you could tell in pregame warm-up, here we go, or uh-oh, here we go. But I've had teams that fool you, too, that would be hyped up in pregame and then come out and not play well or be just completely – dead in pregame, very quiet, very reserved, and then just come out and blow it out. So I think every team's different. I did notice a little, again, we're on the road, 0-5 team after an open week. I did feel like it was a little quiet in pregame and in the locker room. This is typically a group that kind of chatters and talks and is really kind of enjoys the process. A lot of guys that with smile and laughter and kind of excited. And I didn't feel as much of that. And as a matter of fact, you could hear a couple guys talking about it. Guys, we got to get going. It didn't show up in lack of effort. It just showed up in just a little bit of just, I don't know, we were a little high, playing a little bit high, not quite the spark that you're used to. And then it gradually built. So I don't know if what I saw in pregame was a precursor for that, but it definitely was a concern going into this one, coming off the open week with an 0-5 opponent and on the road. All those things kind of made you nervous going into this particular game.
Yesterday, Scotty and I were talking about this game, certain aspects of it. There were so many impressive performances, but the one that really stood out to me was Shaq Bond just effectively ending the game and also having some huge plays, a couple in the offensive backfield and a couple of big tackles, open field or not. Shaq Bond was fantastic. Was this a game that you felt like he matched up well? Is this what you expect from Shaq every week? What do you think really got into Shaq in this game?
Well, I think he's starting to feel better. I don't know if people have really paid that much attention, but he's been playing with a pretty sizable brace on the knee for the last few weeks, and he's not felt great doing it. The open week helped him as much as anybody. He was able to take the brace off and actually kind of feel free to run. I think part of Shaq's process, and I say this, and this may not make sense to many people, he's played so many snaps in the past. At times, if not handled the right way, past experience can kind of get in the way. At times, he's not really trusted the defense and trusted the guys around him. He's leaned on past experience and kind of done some of his own things. And I think he would tell you that over the last few weeks, he's really been critical of himself. He's really tried to be detailed about exactly what we're asking him to do and trust the fact that if he'll do that, good things are going to happen. He stayed within the defense better this week than he has at any point. He's healthy and fresh. And I thought his attitude, his prep going into the game showed what we expect from him all the time. And he obviously had a great game. He created a turnover down on the goal line. We just didn't get lucky enough to fall on the ball. And then obviously the two picks and had tackles all over the field. So I hope he plays like that and just gets better and better every week. The more confident he gets, the more comfortable he gets, and the better that he feels physically. But he is more than capable of playing at that kind of level on a weekly basis. And we definitely, you know, we need him to, because he's a huge, you know, contributor when he does. And he's a leader as well.
So I thought it was really impressive to see Savon Scarver get that return. He'd been sitting at 6 for a while, and to get him to 7, do you feel like there might be, now that he's got that tied that record under his belt, that it might open up the floodgates a little bit more for him if he gets those opportunities?
Well, the crazy thing is the next one they kicked back there to him should have gone to the house too.
He mentioned on postgame, he's like, I kind of was disrespected by that. I can't believe they kicked it to me again.
He was a little surprised they kicked it to him. He got two more good opportunities, and either of the other two could have just as easily gone to the house. We missed one key block on both the other two returns that kept them from scoring. But, I mean, that's what's crazy about it. Literally, 9 guys made their blocks. One guy on each one missed, and it kept him from getting loose. He could have gotten the record on either one of them. I hope that we're able to get him the ball more and more. Obviously, people are going to be very concerned about kicking it to him. That's the other thing. You got DT over there. Do you really want to kick it to him either? So at some point, he's going to get some other opportunities. And I hope that we can do a good job up front to get him some space, because I'd love to see him break that record now that he's tied it. And I not just that, he did such a good job. We got him a couple balls on offense. He played on punt return and did a great job locking down the guy we put him on and actually ran him out of bounds. He just had a really complete game, and I thought he was excited there in front of his family. And you could tell, I mean, he's a guy that his leg's feeling better. He's been beat up all season. I'd like to see how he's going to handle things down the second half of the season.
Coach, I remember game planning in certain areas against certain individuals, not just a scheme or not a system, but an individual, and putting together pretty extensive game plans to attack a certain area of an individual. I'm wondering, are you seeing defenses start to put things together to try to stop Devin Tompkins? Is he still just running through special plans that are put together to try to stop him, or are teams not overly focused on him at this point?
Well, no, people are focused on him. There's no doubt about that. I think Coach Tuck and Coach Cephalo have done a great job of, number one, moving him around, also keeping other guys involved as well, and then attacking some of the leveraged defensive looks that we're getting to still create space. And then you just got to give DT credit. He's able to grasp a ton of offense and literally line up anywhere. If he had a really limited football IQ, if he wasn't a guy that would spend time studying and couldn't grasp it, and we'd have to just put him in one spot and hope that we got good results. But he literally can play anywhere on the field offensively for us, and that gives us tons of flexibility. And for a defense, there's only so many different variations that you can comfortably get in, because we are still giving the ball to everybody else, and we are still committed to the run game. And although it wasn't good early, the run game got going in the second half, and ultimately some huge runs that helped us win the game. So you have to at least stay within the framework of what you want to do defensively. You can't just abandon it completely and take away one guy. He's having a great year, and I want him to continue to do so. But we're not just a one-man show, albeit he is having an unreal impact on every game, and we hope he continues to do so.
You know, I know that you guys don't hear this noise, but I'm sure, you know, people, when you're committed to the running game, but it may not be clicking for the first three quarters, people are like, what are we doing running the football? You know, and I think sometimes OCs can probably be like, yeah, it's not working. Let's go and let's throw it 50 times in this game. What kind of discipline does an offensive coordinator, I mean, you call plays, you've been in that OC chair, and Tuck does a tremendous job, but is it tough for an OC to stay committed to a running game when it may not be clicking, knowing that eventually it might break through?
It's really tough, and as a play caller and even as a head coach, just continue to have those conversations. Hey, man, don't give up on it. Be patient. I mean, the third 19 check and then the check right there, on the 11-yard line. We're all in. We have to run the ball. And I spoke to a group of about 100 people yesterday at lunch, and I had them, by show of hands, I asked them how many people had given up on the run game in the first half and didn't want us to run it again. And literally over half the room raised their hand. And then I started popping off all these runs in the second half and the one that ended up eventually scoring. So we're not as strong and as physical as we want to be up front yet on the O-line. We are beat up. We're playing guys that haven't played before, and they're doing a great job. We just got to keep building and keep developing. But we can't put our head in the sand and throw in the drop eight all day long. I mean, nobody wants the result of that. You're going to throw picks. You're going to throw a lot of incompletions. We're going to be punting the ball. We have to stay balanced, and we have to let our conditioning and the way that we work start to take over. And the runs did get better later. They did get fatigued, and we didn't. And we were able to finish that game off by running the ball the way we needed to, even though it was not pretty at any point. So a lot of discipline. Give Tuck credit. Coach Gibby and Coach James and those guys and DJ in there building the run game and finding angles and making adjustments. But, it's something we're going to stay committed to, and we will get better at it. It's not a finished product by any means. We're all dedicated to doing that, and there's a lot of different ways to affect that.
So that game-winning touchdown, that was a check to a run? That wasn't a...
It was a check to a run. So we had called an initial play, and I don't know, just whatever in my head, I had a timeout in my pocket, and we knew the looks were heavy coverage. I just told Tuck, said, don't be afraid to run the ball. I've got a timeout to burn. He immediately checked to a run play based off the look that he saw, and it popped. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't telling him to run the ball. I just wanted him to be comfortable to run it if he saw a look that was favorable. And literally, they were rolling coverage to the trips. They had four dudes in the box, and it was absolutely the right call, and they executed it perfectly. You've got to be willing to trust that we can execute there, and obviously everybody did.
So, Coach, if I'm not mistaken, if I recall correctly, it was one blocked field goal and two missed field goals. Is that right?
Yep.
Okay. So
yeah, and it is driving us crazy.
So what do you do? Crazy. You got a guy in Connor Coles that obviously you trust. How do you handle that mentally with a kid like that? Is it something where you yell? Is it something where you sit down and talk patiently? How do you talk with, or how do you help a kicker in that situation?
Typically I kind of I've always kind of compared kicking field goals is very similar to hitting a golf ball. Something very, very small can have a really big impact, and so screaming at Connor Coles, I mean, he's a grown man, number one, and nobody's harder on himself than he is, and so screaming at him is not going to do a whole lot of good. We need to find the issue and fix it. The ball's coming out a little bit low. I think he's gotten in his head a little bit. He's overcorrecting himself. We need to get back to the basics. Ultimately, if this pattern continues, we're gonna have to give somebody else an opportunity. But I think we've all seen what he's capable of. Washington State, I mean, the guy put the balls through all night long, and he's done that every day in practice. So just calmly try to work the problem as best we can. We need the ball to come out with a little bit more height, and he needs to trust the process and try to trust his teaching and his training, and just kind of get back to ABCs of kicking field goals. And I think he'll do that. He's responded the right way this week. We have had some protectional problems in the past. That was not the issue this week. Literally, the ball just came out low, and he pushed one. So those are things that we can have. The deep kick that he missed, I mean, that's well on the verge of being out of his range. I knew that before we sent him out there. I told him this was on me. You know, I felt like it was a time we needed to try. If he hit it completely solid, he's got just enough leg maybe to make that, and he didn't. It was a tough kick. The other two, he'll tell you, those are more than within his range. He is more than capable of making them, and I trust he's going to make the adjustments this week to get that done.
Coach, you're playing a Colorado State team that they're old school, man. They want to ground and pound, and they want to get that running game going. This is another physical test for your team, is it not?
Oh, hands down. We talked about it yesterday. This is two big dudes standing in the middle of the ring throwing punches. You know, and I'm not backing up. You're not backing up, and we're just going to keep throwing until our arms are tired. So they will put massive bodies on the field, stack them all. Literally, there'll be times that 22 guys can all spit on the football at the same time. They're going to get them all in there, crammed in their big bodies, tight end on top of tight end on top of tight end with a big running back, and it is going to be smash mouth, old school. Big Ten football. I mean, that's where it's coming from. It's going to look like watching Boston College and one of the teams from the Big Ten going at it. So our style of offense will look different, clearly, but when they got the ball on the field, it is old school football, and we're going to have to step in there and fill gaps and tackle well and play physical ball right there with them to win this game.
You concerned at all about tackling? I mean, you were so good on it early in the season, and there were some missed tackles out there. Is that a concern of yours after that game?
Well, I was really frustrated with our tackling early. We tackled really, really well late, and to me, it was we kind of got our legs underneath us. We started taking that extra step. Guys responded to us, challenging them at halftime, and we kind of got back to the basics. We have to get back to the little details of tackling. That's energy level to get you to the guy, taking the extra step to get close, and then bending at the knees and hips and ankles. And I thought we did a poor job of that early in a really big running back. He exposed us in some areas. Now, you look late, we gave up 7 yards in the fourth quarter, and we tackled really, really well. So we just got to start where we finished off and kind of do that from the beginning of the game to the end, and that's just details. Focusing on the little things that make the difference between making a tackle and getting close.
Coach, always a pleasure. We'll do it again later tonight at the Coach's Show. Appreciate your time.
We'll see you then. Thanks.
You got it. Blake Anderson, head coach, Utah State, right here on the Zone Sports Network.
It's going to be tough, long days with that field goal kicker. I don't even know how that would be one of the toughest areas for me as a coach.
I was going to say, there's multiple reasons why I know you didn't want to get into coaching. Dealing with kickers, I think, would probably be high on that list.
High on that list. And watching, one get blocked that really did look like it came low.
Yeah.
And I know that he was talking about the length on the one, because there was some, what was it, 54 yards?
52.
52
But he made 52-yarder against BYU 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, so you scratch your head and you think, oh, man, you hope he can get back on track, because there were times where a field goal would have made a dramatic difference in that game.
All right, we're live here at Sound Sleep Medical. All you have to do is call 801-285-9731. Melissa's with us now. Look, we're at the Sandy location, and we'd love for you to come here, but you've got 7 locations all up and down the Wasatch Front here. If somebody's listening to us on the radio right now, they're going to find a location near them.
That's right. Ogden, Layton, Salt Lake City, Murray, Sandy, American Fork, and Provo. So hopefully one really, really near to you.
I think people think if I have sleep apnea, it's to a stage in my life where I don't want that machine, and I don't want to feel like I'm Darth Vader trying to sleep at night. You don't need that CPAP machine. Let's get rid of it. You can get this oral appliance, and you're good to go.
That's right. You know, CPAPs require the mask and the tube and the pump and electricity and all those kinds of things. And an oral appliance is so small and simple, you could even put it in your pocket. It's custom made just for you. We have 3D digital scanners in every office. It's going to be the perfect size, the perfect fit. It is like a bleach tray. You put it in your mouth, obviously, just at night. It stabilizes your jaw to keep your airway open.
801-285-9731. You're one of the first 50 people to call and schedule an appointment. I love this value. I love what you do here. A free sleep screening, free sleep consultation. You'll find out whether or not you have sleep apnea, how bad it is, at no charge to you.
Absolutely. And it's really important to find out. If you've never had a sleep screening done and you are age 40 and over, you really need to. And it's a simple test. It's something you get to do at home in your own bed. But it gives us really important information, like if you stop breathing during the night and what it's doing to your oxygen levels.
Call right now, 801-285-9731, 801-285-9731. Thanks, Melissa.
Thank you.
This is the Zone Sports Network.
It's time to saddle up and talk about the winners and the losers. This is the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now, here's the good.
Good, the bad, the ugly, right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Good is that Johnny has just discovered your horse cart. Johnny.
Oh.
What do you think I said?
Oh, I was, are we doing good, bad, and ugly? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
We usually have Jay Hill here, don't we?
Oh, we do have Jay Hill. That's right. Where is Jay? We got to get.
Hey. I'm so confused, man.
Yeah, sorry. I thought you were saying something about, like, don't tell Johnny about the pony cart. I'm like, well, he saw the picture, so it's out of the bag now.
Don't tell him that I rode a pony cart. No, we played the good, bad, and ugly, and I'm like,
yeah.
Oh, I didn't prepare for that. And I'm like, oh, well, there's a reason I didn't prepare for that. Jay Hill coming up here, head coach of Weber State. But, Johnny, that's the first you've seen of it, huh? Have you ever ridden on a pony cart?
Nope.
Well, let me suggest to you, friend.
Put that on your old bucket list right there.
Yeah. Wow. Literally laughed until my sides hurt. Stinking cutest dude ever. His name was Tater Trot. Yeah, they don't know exactly how old he is. Because he actually, the guy bought that little horse from a dude who didn't even know. The dude found it like in a field. And took it in and started feeding it. Didn't know a lot about it. And then this guy bought it from him so he could pull the little pony cart around.
That's fascinating.
Can you say that with a little more energy as if it is fascinating?
It's really not. All right. Time to talk some football. Montana State, Weber State, the Bobcats got the win over the Wildcats 13-7 in a heart-wrenching game for the for Weber State. Jay Hill, head coach at Weber State, kind enough to join us. Coach, how are you?
Hey, Coach.
No, we're doing good. We're doing all right.
You hanging in there? I mean, I know that this is tough times. This is not the outcome that we thought we'd have going into week seven, but are you doing okay? Is the team doing all right?
We're doing all right. We just gotta pull out some close wins. I mean, this is our program. We got so used to winning these close ones and finding a way. And right now, we're coming up on the short end of them. Still making the mistake. You can't beat great teams going minus two in the turnover margin. And that's really what's happened in our three big games this year. Is we went minus two, minus three, minus two, and you're not going to beat top 10 teams like that. Other than that, I think we played very well. We played a lot of good teams. So it's been a weird year.
So many opportunities for that offense in the fourth quarter. I thought your defense did such a good job in getting off the field and giving the ball back to the offense. And there were moments there, but protection seemed to be an issue. Was it just based on what the defense was doing, some struggles with the offensive line? What did you attribute that to?
You know what? It's a team deal. It's a coaching deal. We got to put players in the right position to make plays. There were some protection things at times. We got a guy. We ran a slant and go late in the game, wide open for the win, and we didn't throw it. It's a team thing that we got to get better at. And we're just missing some opportunities that are there to win games, and we're not hitting them. And you're right. The defense absolutely played outstanding. They got us out of some really bad situations in the third and fourth quarter, and then they got out of those last couple drives quickly to get the offense the ball back. I was super, super impressed with the way the defense played, especially going up against a very good offense.
Let's talk a little bit about Bronson Barron. Coach, he returns for this Weber State offense. He's gone through a lot, I'm sure, not just physically but emotionally. sitting on the sideline. He gets back and goes 16 of 29 for 215 yards. Just talk a little more in depth of his overall performance in this game.
Well, Bronson's going to be a phenomenal player. I really believe that. He throws it well. He sees it, for the most part, very well. He's mature well beyond his years of a freshman. We get these high hopes for these kids and forget that Bronson's only played in a few games. He broke his hand in the spring and was limited in the spring and then had the knee injury in the fall, and so this was his first game back. He's going to be fine. And again, he's got enough weapons around him. His big deal is he just got to be a great distributor of the football and get the guys the ball that need it in their hands, and he'll be fine.
Jay Hill, head coach of Weber State, kind enough to join us right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone. Josh Davis left the game with an injury. Any update on him that you can share?
Yeah, Josh more than likely will not play this week. He had an ankle injury. It's not crazy bad, but he's still hobbled right now. I don't think he'll be full speed by game time, but that will be a game time decision.
Well, Coach, we talked about this schedule before this season really got going, and you knew that you were going to be stacked up against it with UC Davis and Montana State, and then having Eastern Washington. We knew that this conference was going to be packed with great talent. So you go from one team that was 5-1 going into a game against a team that is 7-0. This Eastern Washington team's very tough. What are you expecting from them, and what are some things that you're going to go in and attempt to do against Eastern Washington?
Well, okay, so the first question was, Montana State was a heck of a team, and we've played three top 10 teams that we've lost to, and Utah. Those are our losses. So we got to be a little bit realistic in that, is it a downer because we have a good enough team to beat those guys? Absolutely. But we got to be realistic on where we're at and what we're trying to accomplish. And I'm not downplaying it because this doesn't hurt anybody more than it does me. But this is still a very good team that we have, and I expect to go up to Eastern Washington and play great this week. So Eastern, talking about them, phenomenal offense. I think they had 600 yards of offense at halftime last week, 400 yards after the first quarter, and like 30 points or something like that. They've been putting up crazy stats. Eric Berrier right now, the quarterback's probably the front runner to win the Walter Payton Award just based on his stats this year and how they've been performing. They're playing good. They're playing really good on both sides of the ball. I love the matchup. I've always liked playing Eastern. My first year at Weber State, we went up to Eastern. They were averaging 580 yards a game. We held them to 180 and held the ball for 41 minutes that game. So I like the matchup. I think we know how to play them better than anybody, and I'm excited about how our team will respond from last week.
With a team that's so used to winning and winning at a really high level, do you ever worry about morale, or is there enough good leadership and enough good guys on that team, even though you played really good teams and you're playing good football, just coming up short, that you worry about where your team's at, or do you feel like you're in pretty good shape in that regard?
So I always worry about morale, whether you're winning, whether you're losing, whether things are going exactly your way. I always worry about morale. It's just something that you're coaching a bunch of 18, 19-year-old men that, quite frankly, that there's a lot going on in their lives right now. So that's something I do worry about. I probably worried a little bit more about it right now in this situation where we have a good team. Our players know we're good, and players and coaches a little frustrated just that we've come up on the short end of some games where, you know, had the defense got out of the drive at UC Davis and last week the offense found a way to punch one of those last drives in the end zone, we'd be sitting here on cloud nine in the driver's seat in the league. It's amazing how the seasons in college football rest on just a play. And that's kind of where we're at right now. We just got to find a way to get it turned around, and we'll be fine.
Jay Hill with us right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. All right. That red field, man. They got to do something about that, right?
Well, I love it, man. Every time we go up there, we play good. So I don't know. It must be some kind of an advantage to people, to them, because I think they've won 20 straight. The last team to beat them up there was us in 2017. So I'm excited to go back up there. Most people hate it, but I've actually liked it. We played well on that field.
Hey, Coach, I wanted to just kind of separate from a story, but I wanted to ask you about a situation and not anything specific. But Washington State's losing their head coach and losing four assistants, and I don't want to talk about why with you, but I want to get your thoughts. A team that's losing a head coach and four assistants, how does that affect them going into a game?
I don't know. I think really – Hans, you could do this as good as anybody. Just put yourself in the shoes of the players. I think there's a lot of teams that will look at that and say, you know what, we're good. We know what coach would have taught us. Let's go make this work. And as long as you have somebody competent on both sides of the ball to call the plays, then I think as a player, you trust those guys and you go in there and let it rip. The reality of life is you're going to face some adversity, kind of like we're going through right now. You're going to face some adversity. How you handle it is everything.
Yeah.
And I think that that's what Washington State's going to face, is that if the players go in there with a tough mentality and say, you know what, it is what it is, let's make it work, I think they'll be able to overcome it. But it is a weird deal.
Yeah, it is tough. I was just putting myself in the shoes of the offensive line, you know, losing my old line coach, and trying to get ready for it. A BYU defense that has a lot of different motions and shifts and formations, and, you know, they do give you a lot of different looks. And I was just thinking, all right, how much would that affect me if I didn't have my own line coach there? There's a part of me that believes I would unify with the brothers and we would all be in the locker room and we'd give kind of each other the rah-rah and clench the fist and pump it a little bit and say, let's go get them. But then there's a part of me that's like, okay, so we don't have our strategy and our main planner that's standing by our sides telling us to look for this stunt, look for this switch. And so I've kind of gone all over the place with it, Coach, in how it would affect me. But I
think back, like, on my senior year in college, I kind of probably would have liked it. You know, let's go. Let's let the players let this. Let's go handle this thing and let it rip and just see what we're all about. In spring ball, and we haven't had the opportunity to do this the last year or so, but I'll do at least one of the scrimmages where I let the players call it. So a defensive player, hey, you got this series, you call it. And then the quarterback goes in there and calls the plays they want to do, because I want to see the players take ownership and see if they can really understand what we're trying to get accomplished as coaches on the field. And I think that this would be no different. I think it would be an exciting opportunity for the players to say, you know what, we own what we do on offense and defense, and let's go let it rip and see what we can pull off.
Is that I got to imagine that's where you want your team to be eventually, where you're so good that the players can pretty much run a team by themselves almost, right?
Well, I definitely agree. And the veteran teams that you have, like I think back to the 2008 team that we had when I was at the University of Utah, and I think back to the 04 team with Alex Smith and some of the great teams we've had up here. The reality is if the coaches weren't around, those players would have probably gone out on the field and just dominated anyway. If you can get your program to that level, that's when you're pretty special.
Yeah, I remember in 2018 when Matt Wells took the Texas Tech job, and he had three-fourths of the staff was in Lubbock already, and they just had a bunch of GAs and a couple position coaches, Frank Miley and Stacey Collins and a couple other guys, and they went out and put it on a team in the bowl game, and they said, hey, look, this team's such a finely run team that we really didn't need to do that much. They went out there, and the players pretty much did everything. Now, they had a bunch of unsportsmanlike conduct because they were just out there having fun and no head coach to rein them in a little bit, but other than that, it went pretty well. So I got to imagine that's where you'd like a team to be. So.
Well, yeah, that's what college football is all about, is trying to take a young man that when they're 17, 18, not ready for that opportunity, that when they are 19, 20 years old and get ready to graduate, they are ready for that. And just watching them grow and progress and stuff like that, that's one of the most rewarding things we do as coaches. And like I say, if you have enough of those guys in your program that you can feel like you could do that, then that's special. And I really believe we're, even amidst all our struggles and stuff that we have right now, we have that kind of team right now where you can pretty much throw the ball out on the field, let these guys go. And for sure on defense with all the veteran guys we have, those guys would just go out there and let it rip.
Well, that's one of the difficult things, Coach, with this team is kind of the hopes and expectations that we'd all placed on this team. And then, you know, we see where they're at record-wise, where you're at record-wise, and it's frustrating. But this isn't the end of the season. There's still a lot of opportunity to redeem and to face those obstacles. And it's a big week. This Eastern Washington game could go a long way.
For sure. This season is crazy. And the reality is we still have that team that I guarantee nobody wants to come play us. Like, you think Montana State or UC Davis want to come back and play us on our field? Absolutely not. I mean, they get out of here and they're like, good riddance. We don't want to play those guys for another couple of years. And that's the reality kind of where we're at. If we can just get it rolling and be the team that I know we can be, nobody wants to play us. I guarantee that. It's too good of a team and too dangerous of a team right now.
Well, Coach, we appreciate your time. Go get that W. Look forward to catching them again next week.
All right, guys. Talk
good luck, Coach.
Yep.
There you go. Head coach of Weber State, Jay Hill, on the Smart Rain guest line right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
It's really tough because how good was that Weber State team coming in? I know that they've faced some challenges with Bronson Barron being out, and they've had different quarterback rotations, and now Bronson's back, and they're trying to readjust, but now they're trying to adjust to against a team who's 7-0 that beat UNLV. Yeah. The Eastern Washington team, I can't remember how bad they beat them. I just remember that they beat – I'm thinking of right. That's right, right?
Yep.
It was Eastern Washington that beat UNLV?
Yes. Yep.
Okay.
So, double overtime, but yeah.
That's right. It was. I couldn't remember how close it was. I just remembered that they beat an FBS team. It's a good Eastern Washington team. And Weber State's got their hands full. But they could totally turn things around.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And this would be a very Weber State thing to do, too, is go up there and get that win.
No Josh Davis makes me a little bit nervous.
Yeah. All right, Hans and Scotty, 11:47. Thanks for making us part of your day right here on the Zone Sports Network. Coming up next, Whole World News right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
This is DJ and PK.
Eric Walden, Jazz beat writer for the Salt Lake Tribune.
Jazz had a great season last year, and it sucked the way it ended for Jazz fans, obviously. But they were still a great team. On paper, I think they're better. Fair or foul?
I agree with that. I do feel like on paper, they've addressed a lot of the issues that really hurt them in that Clippers series. Theoretically, the Jazz are a lot deeper. They're a little more matchup proof. I think if we're saying what's the ideal version of this team, they're probably missing another lengthy wing capable of defending and switching and hitting some threes, but those guys don't grow on trees. They should be good. They should be improved. They should be capable of winning or at least competing for a championship this year. So I'm really interested to see how it goes.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10 on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Whole World News right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Yeah. This story is so cool today, Scotty. You know the charging bull that's out in front of Wall Street in New York?
Oh, yeah.
You know that?
Yeah.
It's kind of leaned down. So a new company called Sapien Network had a 7-foot statue of Hey Hombre built. And they put it right in front of the New York Bowl.
Oh, really?
Yes. Let me show you this. Look, and he is just fantastic.
Wow.
7 feet tall. And for those of you that don't know Hey Hombre, he was the gorilla that...
Taken too soon.
That in 2016, a kid got into his enclosure, and he's like, what's this all about? And he was shot and killed for it.
Because of the kid.
Yeah. Because some parent was like, oh, where'd Johnny go? And there's Johnny in the cage, and everybody's like, shoot the gorilla! So, Hey Hombre took an ugly fate.
Harambe.
I think it's Harambe, not Hey Hombre.
Yeah. Jake, I know, This has been a thing for a while.
I'm aware.
We've had that conversation. It's not hey, hombre. It's Harambe.
I think the R is silent. I think it's just hey,
okay.
Hombre.
Okay.
Not only that, but they placed 10,000 bananas in front of the bowl. That is to show that Wall Street has gone bananas.
Okay.
No. That seems like an awful waste of a lot of bananas.
Yeah. Are you a banana guy?
Yeah. Yeah, I like a good banana. Yeah. I like it ripe. I like it brown.
Yeah.
I don't like it green. I can't have any green on bananas. I could do 80% brown.
Oh, man.
Really? You go the other end, huh?
Mm-hmm. Ultra ripe.
Where you gotta
you're the banana bread
get it
guy?
Out of there with a spoon, huh?
Yeah.
Yep. And I like my favorite things to do with bananas. Number one is banana splits, ice cream with some chocolate and caramel and strawberry syrups on it, and some crushed nuts. I really like that. I love to slice bananas on my cereal. Those are really good. I like bananas in any of my fruit smoothies. So bananas really good in fruit smoothies. I'd say like down the line, like fifth option is to peel a banana and eat it. I just like to do fun things with bananas. I think they're complimentary.
How about diced up into your Frosted Flakes?
I love it. Absolutely love it. Topped on cereal. Fantastic. Cut up and into yogurt. I love that. But, you know, eating a banana. You saw I had two bananas yesterday. Peeled them and ate them. When I'm trying to be a little more health conscious, I guess I do a little more of the banana eating. I do like them ultra ripe, though. Do you like yours ripe?
Yeah. Not to the point where they're falling apart.
Do you like them bruised?
I don't mind if they're bruised.
Yeah, me neither.
It doesn't bother me. I'm not.
This statue is just
so
beautiful.
So where's that
gorgeous.
Thing? Where's that thing going to reside?
Yeah, right there.
No, it's not going to be a permanent fixture there.
Yeah.
No, that's like an iconic moment. Like, that's an... No,
right there.
He's looking at the bowl like, you want this?
Oh, I know.
You want to go?
Oh, and believe me, he would wreck that bowl. Because he'd be so stealthy. And he could dodge the bull's attacks. And then he could get up behind it. That's a 7
Grab it by the horns and flip it around a little bit.
That's a 7-foot gorilla. He's just gorgeous. I'm just glad that they've commemorated such a beautiful creature as...
Hey, hombre.
Beautiful, beautiful creature.
Beautiful indeed. All right. Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. We're live here at Sound Sleep Medical. Melissa's with us. Call 801-285-9731. People don't want a CPAP machine. They don't want to deal with it. They want something that can take care of their sleep apnea without a machine, and you offer that alternative.
We do. At Sound Sleep Medical, we do an oral appliance. So this is something that you wear in your mouth just at night. It can replace the CPAP machine, gets rid of your sleep apnea, gets rid of your snoring, and actually has you waking up feeling rested.
801-285-9731. You call right now, and let's say you're not sure if you have sleep apnea, you're pretty sure, your wife complains about your snoring, you wake up with headaches, but you can get that free sleep screening and consultation, and it's, again, no charge. Normally, that's, you know, almost $1,000 value right there.
Easily. Yeah, they need to call right now. 801-285-9731 to get that offer. Free sleep consultation, free sleep screening. If you've been postponing this, you know, feeling like, I do okay, I get through my day, you really need to think twice, because if you have sleep apnea and you're just ignoring it right now, it's linked to all sorts of trouble.
Some real serious issues.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anxiety, depression, actually dementia and stroke are linked to having untreated sleep apnea.
Wow.
Hey, Art, I've heard another issue with CPAPs, and I might be wrong on this, but they're kind of a difficult thing to clean, aren't they?
Absolutely. Yeah. And if you don't clean them well and thoroughly, I've seen patients where it just leads to repeated sinus infections over and over.
And there was an issue, I think, about like a recall on a filter or something like that, too.
Yeah, there's been a recent recall of certain CPAP machines due to kind of some sound insulation breaking down. And unfortunately, these patients were inhaling the foam through their CPAP. So,
well, call right now, 801-285-9731, 801-285-9731. You call now. You will get the free sleep screening, the free sleep consultation, and then on your way to getting great sleep with a oral appliance courtesy of Sound Sleep Medical right here on the Zone Sports Network.